Money seemed to be in abundance. Well, actually, the money soon kind of diminishes. And then we find ourselves coming into the new year and rediscovering that hole on the belt that you kind of used to be able to find, and rebalancing the bank balance and all those things. I'm apologizing because this morning I'm going to, well, I shouldn't apologize at all for speaking about the Word of God, but I'm talking about Isaiah 55, and it's all about food, drink, and money. So we're back there again, aren't we? Anyway, it's a wonderful passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorites, and I thought we could look at it this morning because it has so much to say, and I've so enjoyed. In fact, I've been dining out on this passage all week, so hopefully this morning we too can really experience something of what God has to say to us through his word in Isaiah 55. I'm going to concentrate largely on verses 1 and 2, which are a kind of a word picture. And, you know, following on from that too, a little bit into verse 3. But it's a word picture, and the picture that we're getting is a vendor in a marketplace. When I lived and worked in London, I worked in the West End of London, in Soho, and I used to have to walk through the back streets of Soho to and from work and during my lunch break, and there would be stalls set up, fruit and veg stalls, and so I'd have to walk through those. So I wasn't in the market for any of that stuff. I was off to get my egg mayonnaise or prawn mayonnaise sandwiches from the lunch bar, but there'd be stallholders there, and they'd be calling out. Let me just read verses 1 and 2, and I'll go back to being in London. We read, "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you will have, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what is not, what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare." That's not exactly the words I would hear when I was in London. I used to hear, "Come on, get your lovely taters here. Come on, yeah, come on. Yeah, oh, lovely, madam. Yeah, that'll be two quid. Yeah, here you go, love. There you go. All right, yeah. Come on, get your taters here, the best in the land." You know, so that was the banter, wasn't it? And the guys would be kind of playing off against each other. And they'd get more and more sort of creative in their selling point, to the point of, you know, well, who really did have the best taters in the land? I don't know. But it was a very real place, and it's in fact not the only market in the world that I've walked through, but the one that I am probably most familiar with. The thing is about verse 1, or the first part of it, it's kind of weird because he talks about having a need, a thirst, and then he talks about no way of actually meeting that need, so you've got no money. I mean, you parents will know what I'm talking about when I say, you know, you go out shopping and you're in the shopping mall and you're looking at stuff that interests you, and inevitably, if it's a department store, there's a section with toys, and somehow your feet find themselves going over in that direction. Why do we do this? You know, and you get in amongst the toys, and sure enough, next thing you know, child standing with toy in hand, almost demanding that you purchase it for them. And what do you say? "We've got no money." Is that sometimes where we go? And the disappointment, like, why on earth would you bring me here amongst all this stuff and then give no means of actually walking away with the thing? Well, that's kind of the impression that you get about this verse. It's not actually what's going on, but we'll get into that. Talking of being thirsty. So, the invitation is to all, but you've got to be thirsty and you don't need any money. It's a generous invitation. It's not a command, it's an invitation. Come, come. All you who are thirsty, come. And you who have no money. You're not buying something. This is a gift. Because it goes on to say, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. So the fact is that this is a gift. It's not something you have to purchase. It's been given. This is the offer. Come. I've got something for you, and I want to give it to you. But then it goes on in verse 2. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? So it's really speaking to two types of people here. It's talking to people. The invitation is to all. That's a fact. That's to all. But there are those who respond because they know they've got a need. And then there's perhaps those who think that they can, I'm fine, thanks. You know, sometimes when I walk through that Soho market, I would walk. There's a walk you do. It's a sort of intentional walk. You're looking straight ahead. You're not engaging with any storeholders because if they get your eye or your ear, oh, that's it, you're over. You're walking away with a bag of potatoes you never intended to have. No, you fix your eyes ahead and I'm not in the market for that, thank you very much. And so there are those who think that they can provide for themselves. Thank you very much. I don't want any of that. Whatever it is you're selling, I'm okay. Thank you. But the fact is that whatever it is that we're talking about here, you can't earn yourself. It's a gift. And in fact, the voice is God's. It's not a vendor. It's God. He's saying, here, look, come to me. I've got what you need. Listen to me. Because he's the giver. And what he's really wanting to give and what he's talking about here is a relationship. So often, isn't it, that we seek the gift and not the giver? You know, when our kids are holding that toy up, we think, well, do they care more about the toy or me? You know, they seem so bent on getting that toy, but what you really want is for them to come to you because it's a relationship that you want for them, not what the things that you can give. It says that, so really the gift, it's a byproduct of relationship. The gift is a soul will delight and a soul will live. It goes on to say, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. These are the things that are on offer from God. A relationship which delights us and feeds us and causes us to live. It's a love relationship, but love's a risky business, isn't it? Back in the day, when I was a lot younger, and some of you may relate to this, you're plucking up the courage to make the call. There's someone that you're interested in, and you would like to express how you feel about them, but you have to make that first phone call. And some of the younger people won't understand what I'm talking about. Back in my day, there were phones that had a dial on them and finger holes. It sounds prehistoric, doesn't it? Anyway, I decided I'd make the call. So, you know, I get the phone book out and my fingers sort of nervously going down the column looking for Murgatroyd. Can't be too many Murgatroyds in the book, I thought. Oh, there we are. R and L Murgatroyd, Epsom. Oh, I only live in Onehunga. I mean, not even Onehunga Heights. Anyway, so get the number and get the phone, pick up the receiver, and you start your dialing. And then it's quite a physical thing dialing those phones, any of you that's used one. So you dial it, and because they're so slow, you put a lot of pressure on the backward movement, don't you? Trying to speed up the process, but it resists you. You know, there's no hurrying this thing up. It's just going to take forever. So you're dialing the number. So here I am, I'm dialing the number. Get to the last digit, and you know what happens? You get it wrong. Oh. You've got to go through the whole process again. Okay. So finally you get it, and you're like, ring, 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 ring. And your heart's pounding, you know, your temples are throbbing. You're so nervous. You break out in a sweat. Keeps going. I'm just gonna bail. And then the phone picks up. Oh, thank goodness. Ron. Oh. That's the father, isn't it? Oh no. Hello, Mr. Murgatroyd. Is Kate there? Catherine. Phone for you. Sitting there waiting. Next thing you know, at the other end. Hello? Hi. Who's speaking? It's me, Guy. Oh, hi. Hi. Oh, what are you doing? Nothing. Oh, that's so freaky. I'm not doing anything either. That's both of us doing nothing. She says, what are you thinking? Nothing. Now, just to enlighten you girls, it's true. Absolutely zip. The male brain is capable of nothing. How about you? Now, you don't believe this because she is thinking something, for sure. But she says nothing just to make you feel comfortable. Oh. And there's just a lot of silence in the conversation, isn't it? Because you're just new at this. It's really difficult. And you're sort of wondering where it's going to go, and it's going nowhere really, and you'd like to be able to say things, but you don't have the means to say them. I mean, honestly, you're just a pimply youth. What idea have you got about love or the way to express it? And she says, well, I guess I've got to go now. And your heart sinks. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Bye. Bye. Okay. Bye. Hi. You there? Yeah? Oh, yeah. And this goes on for a while, doesn't it? You know, and then finally, a bit of sense creeps in from her, of course. Look, why don't we count to three? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. One, two, three. Hello? Yeah? Oh, no, you're still there. Anyway. Finally, you get put out of your misery. She doesn't hang up on you, but the phone, you manage to get there, don't you? And you put the phone down, and it's all good. I can tell that some of you can relate to that whole deal, the call. It's quite hard work. I just want to say, too, and I did have a conversation with Kate's father yesterday about this, a disclaimer. Ron is the most wonderful father-in-law in the world. He'd never answer the phone like that or give me short shrift. He's an amazing guy, so that's for you, Ron. But it is a risky business, isn't it? I've put myself on the street at times to sell things. I had some T-shirts that I had screen printed, and I was trying to sell them at the time on the side of the street, and it's your artwork, it's something that you've put together, you put a lot of time and effort into, and you put yourself out there, haven't you? So there's a risk in this whole venture, you know, for the vendor, and then, of course, for the customer. I mean, these don't sound like the right terms for what we're talking about here, but, you know, that they have choice. They may not be interested in what you've put out there. They may choose something else other than what you've got on offer. But God's calling. It's God who calls. The other day, on Tuesday night, John tried to phone me. Didn't you, John?
Yes.
Yes. And it was an interesting episode, wasn't it, John? Yes, it was. Because I picked up the phone and, hello? 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 Hello, yeah, There was nothing going on, really. I could kind of tell someone was there, but no, okay, all right, well, they'll try again. Sure enough, ring, ring. Hello? This happened several times, didn't it? And then finally I thought, well, look, there's obviously a problem at the other end. I'll call him back. So pick up the phone. Thank goodness the button's a bit different this time, quite quick. And hello, John. And because he was right there. He was right there. He had actually been holding the phone. I don't know what had happened. But anyway, then I put the phone down. And afterwards I thought, you know, it's easy, isn't it, for us to think that we make the call. In the process and the difficulty of connecting. But it's God who does the calling. Well, we answer him. But in that conversation, I thought in my quest to get in touch with him that I was making the call. But he was right there. He was calling me, and I answered. I'd like to return to the market now, to the marketplace. And for the benefit of using your imagination, if it's at all possible, I'd love it if you were able to close your eyes, if that's helpful. You may not. If you've got children and you want to keep an eye on them, that's fine. But if it's helpful, just close your eyes. And I want you to imagine that you're walking through a market, a street market. You're walking slowly because you have to watch where you're going. There are a lot of people. It's a large street market full of all manner of things for sale. Some you just move past, avoiding engaging with the hopeful vendor. Other stalls you stop at, even picking things up to examine them more closely. But you put them back, either because of the lack of quality or a certain color or the price. It's not for you. It's a hot day. You've been wandering for some time now, and it's approaching lunchtime. You're feeling tired and hungry and thirsty, even a little deflated that you have nothing to show for your retail therapy. And then suddenly, above the hubbub of the market, a voice calls out. Nothing out of the ordinary about that, I guess, as vendors vie for customers. However, it's what is being said that grabs your attention. Your head turns as simultaneously your feet start in the direction of the call. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Can this be true? It sounds too good to be true, but you keep walking. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. You hear a few mocking comments from other stallholders trying to discredit the threatening competition or competition advantage. By now, you've made eye contact. And you are now being addressed personally. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? The voice is speaking to a bundle of necessities and yearnings that is your life. You think, it's as if he knows me. Now you're standing face to face with just the stall between you. The voice continues softly in a fatherly tone. You have to lean forward to hear. Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. There seems to be no one but the two of you in the moment. And suddenly you realize Your hunger and thirst is being satisfied with each word. That's probably the dinner bell. Anyway, the voice says, give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. And to your amazement, you find yourself embracing the one speaking to you. Whatever stood between you, both now removed. It's hard to articulate it, but the name that you utter is Father. Father, I've come home. Water. This is a picture of water here. Well, it is water in a picture. Water speaks of new birth, doesn't it? And it's God's invitation for all those who are thirsty to come and to drink. He says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come to me, that your soul may live. I need my Bible, sorry. In John 4, we read these words. It's the encounter that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman at the well. I'd like to read it to you this morning. It's amazing how so many of these passages tie into Isaiah. Talking of Jesus, it says, now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself? Thanks, Matthew. Oh, there's a bit of breeze in here today. It's nice. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Then the woman said later, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Milk. Milk speaks of nourishment, doesn't it? It speaks of strengthening. The sort of milk that God's talking about is not the stuff that strengthens your bones. It's the stuff that strengthens the inside of your faith that you carry. The Bible says that he strengthens the inner man. That's the sort of milk that God wants us to drink, to strengthen the inner man. Apparently fruit flies like Ribena. Anyway. The wine and the bread speak to us, of course, of Jesus' body and blood. It's God's provision for us to come to him, to find forgiveness, to find cleansing, to find wholeness through Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. Let me read from John 6 and verses 26 to 28. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And then later on, in verse 53, Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my blood, who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Our forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." If I could just have Grant come up, please. This morning, God's making an invitation to us. He puts himself out there in the marketplace. He takes a risk of finding us on the highways and byways, and he calls out to us. And we can go along in our own self-sufficiency, thinking, "I'm all right, thank you very much. I don't need any of that. Sounds too good to be true," but it is true. I hope that the word of God this morning has spoken to you, that the Spirit has revealed the truth of Scripture to you this morning. And I'd just like to invite you, if you've never asked God into your life, he's calling you. He's saying, "If you're thirsty, I've got what you need. I can satiate that thirst that you have, that yearning that you have for me." And so, if I could have the ministry team up here, there's going to be an opportunity, not only just for those who've never asked Jesus into their life, to have someone pray with them here at the water, but also here the milk speaks of nourishment. And for those who have already put their trust in God, but they're really feeling the need to strengthen the inner person, to just go into 2018 and experience a greater relationship with God, then again there'll be someone here to pray with you, to just pray that you're going to experience God in new ways. Because, you know, our bodies start growing at a certain point, don't they? But our spirits are meant to continue to grow, unlike our bodies, which one day will perish. Our spirits are eternal. And then you may just want to come and take communion. again, I ask that you just take the bread and the wine and then you return to your seats and then just take in your own time. It's not going to be possible this morning, I think, to all eat and drink at once, because there will be some who want to move from one place to the next in their own time. But that's really the opportunity this morning to answer the call, God's call. What's your need this morning? We all have needs. I have. Are you thirsty? Do you need nourishment? Do you want to remember Jesus' sacrifice for you on the cross this morning? Whatever it is, I just invite the prayer team up now. Just if you could stand at either of these two stations, that would be really great. And these guys, they're just here this morning to pray with you. If it is a prayer of salvation that you want to ask God into your life, or if it's just something that you feel God's touched this morning that you need to pray about, then feel free to come up. Or if you want to come up and take the bread and the wine and just return to your seat and take communion in your own time, then that's what this is all about this morning. Okay, thanks. You know, God's not like that portrayal I gave of Kate's father. He's not the scary dude on the other end of the phone, okay? So please feel there's freedom in this house to come. God is standing there with, he's taking the initiative. He's the one that wants a relationship with us. And he's done everything possible, even sent his own son to show what he's like and to provide for us on the cross. So come.